Hello, everybody. This is Kat, live from Washington, D.C., right here at our state capitol. To give you an update, I'm giving you heaven's point of view on this election because we've heard enough of man, we've heard enough of the debates, we've heard enough of what people are projecting, assuming, or thinking. I'm going to tell you what's going on in heaven right now, okay? Heaven's excited about this time. The change has already happened. If you don't know, we've been shifted into a whole new time as of 2012 of September, and we're in the kingdom age. This is the time when the hand of our government will be extended to the believer. So it's absolutely necessary for there to be a change, and this change is already happening. All this madness, this craziness, all this trashing and bashing is because the enemy, the devil, is terrified. He will not nor cannot have our country. God himself has told me Trump will sit in the White House. And that may not be your plan, but isn't it time for God's plan instead of man's plan? I know you may not even like him, but you know what? God likes him. And by the way, yes, he did become born again a few months ago. He's a baby Christian. So you Christians, why are you bashing him? You know what? You're operating in the flesh. Right now, God is dividing asunder the body of Christ. Those who operate in the flesh, those who will walk in the Spirit. It's time to get in the Spirit because this is God's plan. Radical change is coming, and it's forced change because God will have his way. So you might as well get on that Holy Ghost roller coaster. The roller coaster, it's going to be wild. It's going to be crazy for a while, but things will be established, set in place. Many of the demonic and the defilement in our country will be erased. God is going to set things in place so that we can rule and reign with Christ in this time. Please open your spirit, man, and throw your mind on a shelf somewhere. Body of Christ, you need to wake up, get up, put your crown on, but you're never going to wear that crown if we don't have the right person in here on Pennsylvania Avenue. And I can tell you absolutely of a surety that Trump will win. This is God's plan. It will be a landslide. And maybe in your mindset, you've been listening to everything that's been put out there on the airwaves, especially to the liberal media. They are not on God's side. They don't want God in our government. They don't want God in our country. So you know what? God, this is his time to show up on this earth through us. We will manifest for him in this time on the earth, and there's going to be amazing things changing. You need to get ready for the change. But if you can't even see change, if all you can see, this is what God said, you're seeing right here. You're seeing what man is presenting to you as the answer, and it's not the answer because he has a plan. His plan is actually for the next 24 years to have righteousness, justice, and freedom in the White House, because let me tell you, there's two kinds of freedom. One, the liberal freedom, the freedom to do what they want to, when they want to, trash, bash, remove Christianity, remove the truth about the history of our country, which they have done. And let me tell you, they'll just keep doing it. Do you want to live like that with no freedom to operate for Christ, no freedom to build, no freedom to handle the wealth of the wicked? Because God has to have this change, and it is here. It's already started. There was another major shift. Let me tell you, I know it because I have spoken, been caught up to heaven many times talking about and discussing these elections. God is voting this time. If you want to choose darkness, you'll have darkness. I wouldn't do that if I were you. If you want light and life, you need to choose who God is choosing. I promise you, it will happen. I know I've been shown the future, and it's amazing, and it's powerful, and it's wonderful. If you want to stay in the box you're in, if you want to be deceived even greater into darkness, then you follow that platform of darkness. Because it's one of light and one of darkness, one of life and one of death. Please choose life, because God has an agenda. It's for America to be greater than it ever was before, to be a force in this world, for our military to be strong, for you to be strong, your soul to prosper. And all of this is necessary to put Trump in that White House. And I can tell you, he will affect the Senate. He will affect the Supreme Court. He will affect the White House. He will live on Pennsylvania Avenue. So get out of your box. Get rid of the deception. Get the blinders off your eyes. Stand up and be who God created you to be. You're supposed to be light in this world, not walk hand in hand with the darkness. I have no plans to leave this planet. Even if God said I could go be caught up to heaven and stay there, I wouldn't do it because I have a commission to share revelation, to expose deception, to push back the darkness, to build regions of light. If you want that, then you need to lay down your plans, man's assumptions, and man's debates, and run after what you know is true, because it will happen. And I'm excited. Heaven is already celebrating. Actually, all of heaven is here watching this report. This is a revelation report. It's an update on the elections from heaven's point of view, not man's. I'm not talking about anything man has said, man has assumed, any lies, deceptions, insults, injuries, accusations. Throw it all aside and run after what God wants. He is changing this nation because it belongs to him. It was birthed in the heart of God. It was put on this earth. It was hidden in the very word Jerusalem. J-E-R-U-S-A-L-E-M. God's going to do something in Israel. He's going to do something in our nation. And I will love it. And even if you don't agree, you will benefit from it. So get on God's train, the Trump train. Get up and vote. Woo-hoo!
Now there you are. She went to heaven. She goes to heaven. She has pink hair because God told her to make her hair pink. And now she's telling you that God said to vote for Trump. All right. He told me that's who he wants in the office too. So if you mess up, I'm going to get on you because I had to sit with in your poverty with you if you do the wrong thing. Hallelujah. How may you refresh tonight after praise and worship? How may love the Lord tonight? How may love the Lord tonight?
Yeah!
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. This means don't come near me. You know that, don't you? How may love the Lord tonight?
Yeah!
I quit. The ones that are going to keep their arms folded are going to keep their arms folded, so that's all right. Tonight, I'm going to speak on going deeper into God because God's a little bit upset with the body of Christ because the body of Christ is still not going deep enough in him. If you were deep enough in God, you wouldn't be offended. You wouldn't be going around bashing your sister or your brother. You wouldn't be having all kind of pride issues going on. There's a whole lot of things that wouldn't be going on if you were deep enough in God. And my question to God is, why can't I go to heaven like Kat Kerr does? If I'm doing something wrong, Lord, let me know, because I don't even have to have pink hair. I just like to go, right? Every now and then I look at the pink hair box and now I'm not going to do that. But I don't know why we can't go to heaven like a lot of people are going. They're just walking back and forth to heaven. Just get up one day and say, well, I'm going to go visit the Father. And they go visit the Father. I get up and say, I'm going to go visit the Father. And I hear a baby say, I need a bottle. You know, well, maybe one day we'll know what the answer to that is before we go to heaven. All right. Tonight, now, tonight we need to go back and seek fresh fire. And as I was typing this up, I thought about how many times we've done the fire and you've been up here screaming, fire, fire, fire. But God said, you still don't have the fresh fire. There's too many long lips. And woe is me. You know, there's too many dumb things going on in the body of Christ to have the fire. If we have the fire, we wouldn't be doing all those dumb things. Come on. And I don't know about you, but I watch Christians and I wouldn't want what they have. So what I'm asking you is when you're out and about, do people want what you have is what I'm asking you. When they see you, do they see excitement? Do they see the joy of the Lord? And you might be a quiet person. That's all right, too. But do they see God in your quietness? Just, you know, ask yourselves those questions. I forgot my shoe. So as I preach tonight, the shoe fits, put it on. If it doesn't, just keep walking, all right? All right, before we continue to yell at demons or anything else, we must have a new day of Pentecost. Now, you know, I wrote that because I hear these other ministers, deliverance ministers, just to Jay Bartlett and Bob Larson, and, you know, that they walk in a room and the devil start yelling and getting out. They can't, you know, get up and yell enough. And so why aren't they doing that for us? You know, see, you have to be honest yourself. Why is it this one person? I just heard God said, because I anointed them for that purpose. All right. So I'll let that alone. All right. All right. So anyhow, before we continue to yell at demons or anything else, we must have a new day of Pentecost. We must stop our compelling activities and form upper rooms. Compelling activities are things that you think that you have to do to please God. All right. Well, you have to get up now at 3 o'clock in the morning because that's the time you need to get up and pray. And I'm really super tired, but I'm going to sit there and I'm going to suffer through this thing. And I'm going to pray. So that's compelling things. That's not God. If you can't get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and pray with a happy tone and, you know, and a smile on your face, and don't do it, because God doesn't accept your grouchiness. He just doesn't. All right, we must repent and be rebaptized in the Holy Spirit, excuse me, so that we can have a legitimate authority to do the true work of God. We must repent. And how many times have God been trying to get us to repent and be rebaptized in the Holy Spirit so that we can have a legitimate authority to do the true work of God? Question, why can't the church just admit that it needs fresh fire? P-R-I-D-E, pride. Amen. Have we lived so long without it that we dread the embarrassment of admitting our need? Whatever the reason, we need to drop our pride and admit that we are powerless and need a new outpouring of the Spirit. There are many, many times I go to God and say, God, I'm empty and I'm dry and I need a fresh outpouring of your Spirit. I need your fire to come and saturate, burn out of me what shouldn't be there, and saturate me with your anointing of your Holy Spirit. I know when I'm dry. And if you're walking in the Spirit, you know when you're dry, and don't tell, well, I never get dry. Well, then I don't think you're walking in the Spirit. Because the enemy comes after you to steal everything that you have inside of you. And you're going to be so busy fighting the enemy, next thing you know, your little gas thing went empty. Amen? You were so busy fighting, you didn't stop and get refreshed. And this is what God was telling me. My people need to constantly be refreshed in Him. A revived church will engage in evangelism, in teaching, and in social action. Most Christians refuse to return to God and ask for power. Most Christians offend God by basking in byproducts and projects fueled by human power. There's so many, I said, if you have charisma, you can talk your way out of anything. But that isn't the anointing. That's just charisma. You're just a smooth talker. What did you call that? A gentle, what kind of a proper dog? You know, it's, you know, if you really are walking in the Spirit, you really have the anointing of God inside of you, you won't talk very much, period. Because I'm sorry, the Holy Spirit's not a blabbermouth. He doesn't talk 24/7 nonstop. He just doesn't. He's like God because He is part of God. He only talks when He needs to talk. Remember that. So if you think you always have to be talking, then you need to go back and get some more fresh fire because you want to be seen. College graduates, I'm sorry, a lot of us used to be Spirit-filled saints abuse their empowering experience the way many college graduates abuse their diplomas. College graduates often stop learning, assuming that their sheepskin marked an achievement so great that no further education is needed. Spirit-filled believers presume that their initial baptism of power is a final baptism of power. I don't know about if you ever go to college, you know, yes, you just have to keep going back and learning and learning and learning. That's just like studying the Bible. You just don't study it one day and then forget about it. You have to keep studying and studying and studying because God's always revealing something new and something refreshed. I hear a lot of people say, well, last year I read about Bible clear through. What are you doing this year? Well, I read it clear through last year. Well, you need to reread it again and again and again until you get those truths down in your spirit, man. And whenever you do that, the enemy will not be able to take you off course. I don't know about you, but I'm really tired of looking at Christians that are really phased out or fizzled out Christians. There's no joy. There's no hope. You know, there's no Christ, you know, products in them. You have to go around telling everybody, I'm a child of God. If you're going to say you're a child of God, then act like one. We're all going to go through the furnace of affliction. We're all going to have trials and tribulations. You were all going to suffer like Jesus suffered. But that doesn't mean we can't have joy. That doesn't mean we can't have wisdom. That doesn't mean that we can't have long suffering. You know, Jesus went through all the things I just said, but he had all those attributes going on with him. You wouldn't have known that he was downtrodden. Why did he go to the mountain so often? He had his 12 disciples. Why couldn't he have just enjoyed them? Because he had to go and be refreshed. He had to go and be refilled. He had to go and sit before the Father and get the anointing once again. Because people zap your anointing. They pull on you and pull on you and pull on you. And if you don't go to the Father like Jesus did, go to your mountain, wherever your mountain's at, and get filled with the Father, you're not going to make it. You have to have fresh fire just about every... How many of you know right now it's so hard out there, you have to have fresh fire every day? And I don't... I'm not just about out there. I'm in your home, in your workplace, any place. You have to have that fresh infilling every day. We can't live like we used to live, saints of God. We can't live on what we got a week ago. Because it's a warfare out there. And that enemy is trying to zap everything right out of us. I'm hoping that you get this night because we're in a place in our walk with God where we have to be constantly and steadily filled with his fire and his glory. If not, the enemy knows you. He knows what button to push. In other words, he knows just exactly how to get to you. And if you aren't filled with that fresh fire, if you aren't filled with the Holy Spirit, if you aren't filled with that anointing, he's going to destroy you. When God empowered us to be a witness, it was the first of a series of encounters with the Holy Spirit. You must have repeated infusions of power at key points in your life. You must have repeated infusions of power at key points in your life. Let's just stop there. You know, in all the years that I've been ministering, I can tell you that even sometimes after preaching, I have to go home and ask God to please refill me. Because the enemy that I fight while I'm trying to preach or trying to minister to people, that enemy just come to just keep zapping and zapping and zapping. And how many of you know you feel whenever that's taken out of you? You can feel that thing, you know, you feel that anointing leave you. You have to go home, at least you should go home, and step before the Father and say, Father, I need fresh infilling. Because what I just went through took everything that I had. Are you listening? See, if you're really in the Spirit, you'll know when the anointing's being zapped out of you. You'll feel the atmosphere over you. You'll feel the heaviness, and you'll feel yourself becoming heavy because the enemy is weighing so heavy upon you. Not because you haven't been in the presence of the Lord, but it's the people around about you. It's what's going on in the atmosphere. Doesn't have to be the people around you. It's the atmosphere is heavy with demonic forces fighting. And you know, I'm hearing God say, if you don't get refreshed, you're going to be crushed by that heaviness. All right. Joel 1:14 says, consecrate a fast, cause sacred assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord, your God, and cry out to the Lord. I know when for years I was calling fast all the time in the house of God. And I said, God, why don't I do that anymore? He said, because I'm having you do something else. He said, others are calling for the fast. So anytime you hear anybody call for a fast, you need to be fasting. The Women's Aglow is calling for us to fast the 6th, the 7th, and the 8th for the voting, right? So, you know, somebody's calling for a fast. Lou Engle's always calling for a fast. We need to do what these leaders are calling us to do. The early church realized there has to be a gathering where no one is excused from attending. No one is too young. No one is too old. No one is too smart or too spiritual to be exempted from attending. Joel even required a wedding to be postponed. Now see, let me read that again. The early church realized, you know, the early church before us realized there has to be a gathering where no one is excused from attending. No one is too young. No one is too old. No one is too smart or too spiritual to be exempted from attending. Joel even required a wedding to be postponed. All right. What once somebody fasted, they even made them fast, but the animals fasted too. They weren't allowed to feed the animals that day. Everybody fasted because they had to be in the presence of the Father. Well, can I put my food in the blender and drink it? No. Well, what time does it end? Does it end at midnight, 6 o'clock? What time does it end? Because I got my menu all, you're not really fasting. You're doing a works. Come on, you're just doing a works. If you're really fasting, you're not going to worry about when it's supposed to end. You're not going to worry about whether you should blend it or what you should do with it. Well, can I just not drink my coffee because my coffee's a God? Now, see, you wouldn't even think that. When God calls you, you know, so now they have, well, you can fast, you know, your coffee or your soda or your TV. Or you can fast, you know, one meal a day. Or it, why don't you just fast? If you read the Bible, when they fasted, they fasted. They didn't eat nothing. Amen? I don't know why I got on that there, little side road, but there you go. I think we're making too many excuses and not doing the things that God wants us to do. The church assumes that our need is for a new fact, not a new fire. And in that, what we're looking for, we want God to reveal something new to us. And, all right, if we have the new fire, if we get refreshed with new fire, maybe we'll be like Cat Kerr and be able to go to heaven all the time. And you get your facts up there from the Father. Wouldn't that be wonderful? To sit in heaven, be talked by Jesus, whoever she talks to, by the angels, by Jesus, whoever, and you get your facts straight from the throne of grace. I haven't been there yet, but I'm really believing I'm going to go there. The other night I said, God, I really don't want to go to heaven because I think when you took me to hell those three times, that was better for me than going to heaven because it made me have more love, more compassion, and mercy for those who are steeped in sin. See, anybody, you know, when you go to heaven, you're going to go up there and just be blessed and be blessed and be blessed. And you're always supposed to be a blessing, right? Now, I want to go to heaven, though, all right? But when you go to hell, then you see the facts. You see what's going to happen when the people die. You see what's really going on in hell right now. And that makes you change your mind about everything that you do for the Father. It really does. It did me. It really made me see what a person in sin goes through when they die. And I don't want nobody to go to hell. I want everybody to go to heaven. I don't have to be there to know what it's like because the Word of God tells us, right? But I had to go to hell because, to tell you the truth, I lost my compassion for people that stayed in the same sin. I said, okay, they like to do it. Let them go ahead and die and go to hell. That was my attitude. So God took me to hell to let me see what's going to happen to them. And that changed my attitude. I'm being honest with you. What's your attitude? You know? All right. I said, the church assumes that our need is for a new fact, not a new fire. We should be ashamed. Look at Peter in Acts chapter 3 and 4. He was in the upper room. He saw tongues of fire. He tasted the day of Pentecost. All right. Yet barely two chapters later, he is ordering the church back together for another endowment. The faith had been banned in Jerusalem because of the miracle to the lame man. Peter saw what we cannot see. Only an additional empowerment will help the church answer this threat. Saints, this is why God wants us to know this night. Only an additional empowerment of his fire and his glory is going to help us to see through these end time hours, to be able to minister to the lost and the dying. So many people sit in the house of God and they still have made up their mind whether or not they're really going to serve God. Or they haven't made up their mind whether New Age is real or Jesus is real. You know, there's so many things going on in the body of Christ that's really a stench to God's nostrils. And we are supposed to be spirit-filled people, led by the Spirit of God, empowered from on high. And we should have fresh fire all the time. Every one of us should be getting out of bed in the morning or lay in bed, I don't care how you do it, and say, God, fresh fire. I need fresh fire before my feet hit this floor. Because yesterday was enough, right? And now I need to be refreshed before I face today. But how many people get up, jump out of bed and start running around like a fool? Don't even pray. Then they wonder why the day went bad. You didn't get prepared for what you were going to face. The onslaught is great. Peter's prayer is a model for how to ask for and receive fresh fire. Acts 4:29. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. People were coming against, all right? He said that, and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Now, tell me, you know, on Sunday night, when Sister Nancy and Brother Brett were up here giving their teaching, I saw that something wasn't right. And then I thought, we've got to stop this right now. Because even though they were anointed of God, something was coming against. And so when we stopped and we prayed, then they could go ahead and give the message in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Every time you get up to preach, you should not, or teach, or whatever you're doing, I don't wave flags, whatever you're doing, you should always pray, Holy Spirit, you take me over. You take, if you're speaking, you take over my tongue. You take over my mouth. You speak what God wants me to speak. If you're waving flags, Holy Spirit, you take over my hands. You take over my feet. You take over my body. And you wave these flags the way you want to wave. You dance the way you want to dance. Or you see what I'm saying here? We should always ask the Holy Spirit to come in and do us with power before we do anything for the Father. Even if you're going to go visit somebody that, you know, just another brother or sister or somebody asked you to go visit, Holy Spirit, you go with me and you speak through me, because only you know what this person needs to hear. Only you know what they're going through. I don't care what my friend told me before I left. I don't care what my mind's telling me. Only the Holy Spirit, God, Jesus, knows what that person needs to hear. And if you're going to go in there in your own strength, saying what you want to say, then you might as well just stay home, because you haven't helped anybody with anything. How many of you, you've encountered people and they want you to say something to them and you don't hear nothing but God, but your mouth just starts running, like turn on a faucet, and you say a whole lot of things that mean absolutely nothing because it wasn't Holy Spirit driven. It was your flesh that drove those words out. Are you listening here? Next thing you know, you get into gossip and all that other kind of junk because you were not led by the Holy Spirit. Verse 30 says, by stretching. All right, let's just start at verse 29. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. See, they were saying, when we stretch forth our hands, it's you stretching forth your hand. God told me early on, he said, whatever you place your hands to do, I will do it. In other words, if I lay my hands on somebody to be healed, God's going to heal. You understand this? It doesn't matter what you do, all God will take over if you ask him to. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. See that? Now the multitude of those who believed were one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Now let's read 33 again. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. Now, when I first started going out on the road, the first thing people do is they grab your arm and say, here, we got a room for you. You want to go in there and pray? Well, I did that one time, and I never did it after that, because I went in that room, and that was the deadest room I've ever been in. I always pray about a week before I go. I pray the whole time I'm traveling there, and I pray before they call me up. I'm prayed through. I don't wait till I get to some place and have to go into a room and pray. Are you understanding this? And there's nothing wrong with people doing that. I just don't do that. All right? You can do that all you want, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's just something I don't do. I found out it doesn't do me any good. Sometimes people go in there and start laying hands on you, and that messes you all up. So I found out the best thing to do is just say, no, thank you. I just go sit down, because I don't want people laying hands on me before I go minister. I don't know what's in their hands or on their hands. I've already prayed. I know that God is with me. He's already given me the message, or said he'd speak through me, and that's all I need. That's all you need. All you need is to be led by the Holy Spirit. Peter rightly declared that the threat was from Satan, ultimately against God, you know, the things they were going through. In other words, we are under supernatural siege, and only supernatural power can answer it. See, when you're in a battle, you have to understand it's the enemy coming against you. Not the people. It's the enemy. It's not God, it's the enemy. And if you don't pray against that thing, it's going to take you out. But we sometimes we're under attack. We just run around with a chicken, like a chicken with our head cut off. We don't sit down and pray. And if we can't pray through, we're too prideful to pick up a phone and say, look, I'm having a problem. I need you to agree with me in prayer that this thing is taken away. That's what you do. And then, but only call people you know is walking in the spirit. Just don't call any old buddy because they can mess you up. Next part of it, as Peter's prayer revealed his motive for wanting power, and his motive slashes at the heart of what is wrong with the body of Christ. Now, this is what it was. Peter asked for boldness to preach the word. There is not a hint of petition for personal safety, emotional blessing, or lifestyle, or lifestyle enhancement. His passion was for the word of God to have its full impact on the lost and the hurting. Are you listening? When you're ministering, well, you should be ministering to the people. You should have already been ministered to by the Father before you ever got there. All right? And don't think, well, you know, I have charisma. I'll just get up there and do my thing. No, you won't. Not in this church anyhow. No, you won't, because God's going to tell on you. Come on. You never want to go anywhere thinking, well, I can just talk. A pastor told me one time, he said, I was invited to another church to minister, and him and his wife and family were going to the church at the time. And I said, well, they wanted me to sit in fellowship. I said, I can't. I have to go and study and get before God so that whenever, you know, because I have a speaking engagement. They said, oh, you've been in this long enough. Just get up and just say any old thing. I said, what? Yeah, that's what we do. I said, that's not what I do. Now I understood that, at that point, I understood why there wasn't much power in the churches, because they were just getting up there just doing any old thing. You don't get up there and do any old thing. You get up there and you and the Holy Spirit's in you. The Holy Spirit will speak through you. All right? Don't ever think you've been at it long enough that you have it down pat, that you have enough up here that you can just make up anything as you stand there. You can do that. But nobody's going to be blessed. Nobody's going to be changed. There's not going to be any signs, wonders, or miracles going on, because it's all up here. It's not from up there. All right, Peter was pleading for miracles that would shatter the chains of the oppressed, thereby releasing even more power for the word to spread. See, when you're sitting here, you should be praying too, Father God, as we go through, I don't care if whether you're preaching or not. Father God, I just want the power of God to drop in here and let these people be blessed. Sitting there saying, I don't see why I should not let me get up there and teach the word. I have it hidden in my heart. No, you're sitting there and you're praying, God, let the power of God come down and bless the people. Amen. I do that all the time. I'm sitting there, you know, I'm just constantly praying, Father, we really need you here tonight. These people really have to be blessed, or whatever I see going on. I'm always praying for God to start blessing the people. You know, if you go to, let's say you go to a party, it's holiday time, and you go into a room and say, ha ha ha, hee hee hee, you know, and getting a drink. Why don't, you know, punch whatever you get. Why don't you just sort of find some chair to sit on and say, Father, just bless these people tonight. And start looking around the room and just let, say, Holy Spirit, what would you like me to pray about? I didn't say go prophesy over them. I didn't say go lay hands on them. I just sit down quietly and just say, Father, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to see here tonight? And then if he shows you something, then start praying to yourself for that situation. You don't have to run, jump up and say, I'm here. The spiritual person is here. No, that's flesh. Come on, that's flesh. I often sit and think about when I first started. I didn't know nothing about nothing, all right? And I didn't realize that the prophetic gift was what it was. And people were inviting me to home groups and everything else, you know. And I get in there, and they would act like I was some big dignitary or something. And then see that I still feel bad. I don't like that. And, you know, I would be embarrassed. And then they would come up to me and say, what does God have to, you know, after I spoke, what does God have to say to me? And God would tell them something. But then they were applauding me. And see, I never liked that, because it's not me. I am just the vessel that God chose to work through. And I tell him, please don't give me, don't do all this to me. Don't honor me. And I know you should be honored, but I didn't like, it was like I was a god. You know, there's a difference. And, oh, Pastor Barbara's here. And everybody got real quiet, you know, like, hi, Pastor Barbara. How are you? You know, and I always would try to get there early before anybody else did because I was embarrassed to walk in the door with everybody there because then they all, you know, got real quiet and real reverent, you know, and I just didn't like that. And I know they did that with Jesus when he walked in the room because Jesus told me that too. But what I'm saying is don't be lifted up in pride. Just know what you have. You know, just so long as you know. You don't have to be telling everybody else what you have. Blessed Bible said your gifts will prove theirself. If you have something, people are going to know it before you ever open your mouth. Just walking into a room, heads will turn. I told you the story about whenever I wasn't even preaching in. But when I walked into the funeral home with my aunt died, everybody in there stopped talking. And everybody was looking my way, and I was so embarrassed. I thought, what is wrong with me? I had just traveled from here to home. And I walked over where my daddy was at, and he said, oh, it's my daughter. He called me Jimmy. And he says, everybody in the room just stopped talking. I couldn't figure out who you were when you walked through the door. There was something about you when you walked through the door. And he grabbed me and hugged me. And he said, I love you so much. Thank you for following Jesus. But, you know, see, just me walking in the room brought the presence of God in that funeral home. Are you seeing what I'm saying? If you have it in you, you don't have to say nothing. It'll just be there. All right? In those days, I looked like, what's that guy's name that got, that president that got shot? John Kennedy. Everybody used to always say I looked like his wife. My father said, somebody said, is that President Kennedy's wife just walked in? But, you know, you make a stir when you have the Holy Spirit in you. How many of you make a stir when you go into a room? Or the people just keep on eating or drinking or doing whatever. And by drinking, I mean sodas or something like that. I don't mean, you know, or just people just keep doing what they're doing. You have to walk up and say, I'm here, you know. You shouldn't have to say that because your anointing should walk in the room with you and everybody will know you're there. You need fresh fire. Amen. You know, one time when I was really going through my, when God said I was walking under the curse and everything was going wrong in my life, I went to New Jersey to a church up there to see somebody. I think it was Chuck Pierce. We went, Chris and Larry and I went. And I walked into the lobby and I was really, I could feel worldliness vibrating from me, even though I wasn't doing anything really, but I knew the anointing wasn't there, right? And I walked by this woman and she looked at me really funny and she said to her husband, what's wrong with that woman? See, she felt the worldliness on me. She felt there was no anointing at that point in my life. Are you listening? So see, she felt that too, and I was really embarrassed. And I knew it was there, but I couldn't do anything about it because God said, daughter, you're walking under the curse right now. And so he removed everything out of my life. And that is no place I ever want to go back to again. So I know both sides of the fence. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to stay on the Holy Spirit's side. I didn't like the other one at all. That's when I remember I told you, they said that prophet told me in front of a big church, God's going to cut down your tree because you're not bearing good fruit. Well, that's what happens when you don't bear good fruit. I had gone through so much trauma, so much pain and hurt. That wasn't bearing good fruit anymore. But see, I knew that. How many of you are willing to admit, I know that I'm not bearing good fruit. I know that right now I can't stand my own self. And you're crying out to God day in and day out, Father God, please, please, please take me off from this curse. Please bring back the anointing. Constantly you cry that out. If you know what it's all about, you'll be doing that anyhow. But if you don't know what it is to walk in the Spirit, you won't know the difference. It's just same old, same old. And I'm going to tell you, if you're a spirit-filled child of God, it's not the same old, same old. Totally different world that you live in. And everybody's going to try to steal your anointing. So get that in your head right now. And let it go down into your heart. And so when they try to steal your anointing, instead of you getting all offended, you just say, thank you, God, that you're in me, and you're around me, and they can't steal anything from me. Amen. Fresh fire gets us deeper into God who is already in us, but we go deeper. The first baptisms put us in the Spirit. Now a lifetime of reducing self-dependence has begun. I said, the first baptism put us in the Spirit. Now a lifetime of reducing self-dependence has begun. In other words, you start not depending on your own self, but you depend on the Holy Spirit. Self-dependence is a great enemy of all that the Lord does. Hear that? Self is not only conquered by daily choices of surrender, but also by seasons of seeking and receiving. Self is not only conquered by daily choices of surrender, but also by seasons of seeking and receiving. I don't know about you, but you know, a good thing to do is every day seek and receive every day. New downpours of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 4:29, Peter orders a prayer meeting and utters a mighty prayer. We read that already. The added power and boldness they requested was answered in overwhelming abundance. They asked for it, God gave it. I'm telling you, saints of God, if you're really crying out for God for the right reason, God's going to give it to you. And he'll give it to you in abundance. Believe me, he will. Question, are we so proud that we suppose we can do without fresh fire? Some are. When the disciples sought it so soon after Pentecost, you know, if they sought it right after Pentecost, why do we think we can do it with one dose? Do we dare to place ourselves above the legends of God who confessed their need for these deeper baptisms? You know, above the other disciples. Look around the church. Number one, love and purity are scarce. Number two, smug presumption and pride stops the flow of the anointing. If we will discard the garbage and seek the sacred, awesome renewal awaits us. Those of you who are sitting in here in pride, and you do have pride, and I don't care if you admit it or not, I'm going to tell you, there's some of you who does have pride. Until you get rid of your pride, don't expect to walk in the Spirit, because you can't have pride and walk in the Spirit both. You just can't do that. You have to be humble before the Father. And if you think you're better than anybody else, you aren't walking in the Spirit. If you choose to always degrade your fellow brothers and sisters, you're not walking in the Spirit. There are many things that God will show you in life about other people that you need to keep to yourself. I found that out. Well, I just always do anyhow, but I've watched people do that. God shows them something. Boy, they run and they want to tell the person, because look, I got knowledge about you. And it ruins them. I told you the story about one time when I had, you know, people coming up here, and they were coming up here for prayer one at a time, and the one lady walked up in front of me, and as she was walking up there, God said, she's a prostitute. So I thought, oh, gee, I didn't know what he was going to say. But you know what he told that? He never mentioned that to that girl. He just told her how much he loved her, and he told her all the plans for her life, and she cried and cried like a baby. He just poured love into her. But he told me she was a prostitute, and later on I found out she was. Now, see, I could have said, God just told me you're a prostitute. Now, what do you think that would have done to her? I don't care what else God would have said to her. She wouldn't have received anything. Some things God, I don't know why he told me that about her. I really don't care. But some things God tells you to keep yourself, so you can pray about it. So when a person does act up, you say, oh, that's what you're talking about, God. Come on. All right, the signal has gone forth from the throne. And God is saying that we need to seek fresh fire. Really, tonight, seek fresh fire. Don't come to the altar and just run up here and say, I want what you got. I want you to really, from the very depth of your soul, want fresh fire from God. And when you cry for that fresh fire, he's going to burn everything out of you that's not of him. Absolutely everything. Number one, fire for men and women of God. To thunder piercing truth from pulpits, not showy salesmanship in seminars. In other words, preach like I do. Amen. All right. Number two, fire to burn out the evil in American cities. You know, we have to have, you know, we as body of Christ, when we walk through the city, we should have enough fire in us that we could just destroy the enemy that's in that place that we're walking. God told me when I was first born again, now, daughter, from this day forward, every place you place your foot becomes holy ground. So every one of you, every place you walk should become holy ground. And every one of us in here, we walk at different places, right? So we should have this city pretty well covered in holy ground. Now, if we get the fresh fire in us, the real fire, then we not only make the ground holy, but the fire will reach out and touch the people as you walk by them, and they'll just be automatically changed. You don't even have to touch them. Just walk by them. Are you listening here? See, we want to be people who lay hands. Say something. But you don't have to do that. Just have Jesus in you. Have that holy fire in you, and you just go. And you watch and see what God can do through you just by being a vessel. Amen. All right, then fire that builds giant Christians that triumph over end times and move masses by example. I just said all that, but what I just said. All right, fire that builds giant, you know, the fire in us should make us giants. All right, then every place we go, we should have victory. Are you listening? The only person more dangerous than the one who thinks he doesn't need fresh fire is the one who thinks it is the other person who needs it. I am more than quick to say, God, I need more of you. Amen. And to tell you the truth, sometimes when I don't minister to people, I sit down and have somebody else do it. I know I'm not as full as I should be. I don't feel the anointing as strong as I know it needs to be there. And so instead of me doing something that would be dumb, I just say, have somebody else do it. And as I'm sitting there saying, God, I don't know why I feel. Well, sometimes when after I preach, it just seems like zip, everything zaps right out of me. There's nothing there. And so why should I get out there and pretend like there's something there when I have you guys that I can fall back on? Amen. No matter if you feel like that or not, you have to obey me, right? I see somebody's, oh, she wants me to prophesy over these people. You don't say it, but it's all over your face. Come on, you just didn't minister and the devil just didn't zap everything out of you. Come on. So I lost my place. All right, I'm going to repeat that. The only person more dangerous than the one who thinks he doesn't need fresh fire is the one who thinks it is the other person who needs it. Let's take a look at the full effect of fresh fire. Number one, the power of the Spirit is called for in times of crisis, compromise, and opportunity. You should always have fresh fire at that time. And number two, the power of God is revealed when the person or the work of the Lord is threatened. We need fresh fire at that time. Number three, a baptism is required when normal efforts fall short. In other words, when we're doing everything we know. How many of you say, I've done everything I know to do? We haven't called on fresh fire, have we? Come on, we've talked back and forth. I've done everything I know to do and it's not working. We didn't call for fresh fire. A fresh anointing, fresh wisdom. Are you understanding this tonight? Does that help you guys? Some help me a whole lot. Come on. A leader can be overcome by desires. A leader can neglect his gift. A movement can compromise its call. Prayer can become a ritual, and that has happened in here. Oh, it's Tuesday night, and I got to go and lead prayer. Or I have to go and pray. Come on, let's be honest. And if you haven't been there, you'll get there. This is what the enemy does. This is what happens when you don't have the fresh fire in you. Above all, when God is preparing to open a vast door of opportunity, he seeks to empower us to seize it for Christ's glory. In other words, God is getting ready to move a lot of, you know, the season has shifted and God's getting ready to do a lot of new things with us. And he's opening up new doors. And so he's telling us, that's why he's telling us tonight, we need fresh fire to walk through these new doors of opportunity that he's opening up for us. Question, how can we turn the new converts into warriors except by the power of the Holy Spirit? One, fact, none spirit-filled churches will not change without the leaders being engulfed in new flames of the Holy Spirit. Every one of you in here that do anything to lead people, that if you don't have the fresh fire, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Number two, it is by the Holy Spirit that a preacher's heart is freed of hurt and pride. Listen to this, you guys. It is by the Holy Spirit that a preacher's heart is freed of hurt and pride and is restored to the childlike joy of advancing the kingdom with a pure love for the brethren. You can't do it on your own. You need the Holy Spirit. You need a fresh fire. Question, can you simply admit your need for a new overflow of spirit power? Fresh fire was a reoccurring theme of Paul the Apostle. He himself received it time after time. So in other words, the answer is yes. I mean, no, it's, you just can't ask one time. You have to ask over and over and over again. One very clear example was when the apostle was challenged by Elimaeus. Paul was filled with the Spirit in Acts 13:8. You know, see, okay, let's stop there. See, this is what happens, guys. When people come up to you and they mess with you and you get all upset and you argue back, it's because you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit with fresh fire, and the Holy Spirit's not leading you. And so right away you get offended and then you get on the defensive and then you start. See, and everybody's messed up. Acts 13:8, but Elimaeus, the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, O fool of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? See how brave Paul was? And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you should be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. See what Saul did? He said, I'm going to blind you, because I have the anointing in me. And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed. See, they believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. You see this? Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he had boldness, and signs and wonders followed him. I believe the reason why God doesn't give some of you all that their anointing is because you go around blinding people. I do. That just came to me, so I thought I'd say that. Never forget Larry and everybody only married a month or two, and he used to do some dumb things, and I was coming to the bedroom and he said something dumb and I said, God, strike him dead right on the spot. Oh, you're so spiritual, he said, or something like that. But see, now, if I'd had that anointing, you'd have dropped dead. See what I'm saying? Come on. See, you have to take all this all into the puzzle. Now let's look at a prayer of Paul that is unmistakable, a prayer for deeper baptisms of God in Ephesians 3:14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, see what he's saying, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. He's praying for other people, not for himself. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. See all these wonderful things he's praying for those people, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now these prayers reveal the benefits of these added outpourings. Paul speaks of power to do God's work, being filled with the knowledge of God, mighty strength and joy. This bears out the four characteristics of fire. It purifies, it fuels, it illuminates, and it warms. Now see, when any of you are called up here to minister, whether you're seminars, whatever, I'm always constantly praying for you that you be walking in the Spirit, that all your flesh is dead, all your thoughts are dead, and only Christ's thoughts and Christ's words are going to come out of you. Because I know without that, your seminar is going to fail. And sometimes when you say things, and you, well, why did I say that? It's because you already prayed, or I'm praying for you to be filled with the Spirit. And so, and I always say, Holy Spirit, you speak what needs to be said, and not what they want to say. And so you're wanting to say one thing, but the Holy Spirit blurps out something else like it did through Catherine. And she, why did I say that? Well, you didn't. The Holy Spirit said it because the Holy Spirit wanted that brought out. You understand this? Really, this is what happens. When you really turn yourself over totally and completely to God, your mouth, your everything, The Holy Spirit will, and you say, Holy Spirit, you speak through me. You take control of my tongue. You say what God wants me to say. That's the way it happens. Amen. Chuck Pierce states, we are now advancing. He said this when you went up to see him. We are now advancing into Hebrew year 5777, a year the sword of the Lord moving across the earth. When I was in Delaware with Dutch Sheets a short time ago, I felt a shift occur, and a shift has surely occurred. Not only has a season changed, but our path has been altered. This will require us to advance in a new way. When we move into something unfamiliar, we do not want to venture alone. Rather, this is a time for the Triumph Reserve to mobilize for the release of revelation that will open up our way for the future. A key scripture that we are hearing is Isaiah 22:22. Then I will set the key of the house of David on his shoulder, and when he opens, no one will shut. When he shuts, no one will open. Now these keys close or open spiritual doors, allowing or disallowing access and activity. Now, I ran across this after I had set this up, after I did this message, but then I realized that I know a shift has occurred. I'm trying to figure out where God wants me to do. You know, I'm going into something that I have never been into before. And so it's a new adventure. So I have to seek every day, God, what is it you really want me to do? I spend a lot of time doing that because I don't want to walk around in a circle. And, you know, and I don't want to do something wrong. And so each one of you in here, you have to understand you're in a new season. What used to work is no longer going to work. And what you thought you were going to do, God could be changing and you're going to be doing something different. All right, let's just say, Brother Alan, you thought you were going to be doing deliverance ministry, but God has something different for you. So you went into a new season, something shifted. Now we can't get upset because something shifted. And just like, that's why I played that song. You know, first one. He said, everything's different. You guys, are you going to find out everything's different about your life? You're going to find out the things you desired is not, now God has taken that desire away. Now God's putting his desire in your heart. You're going to find out that you thought you had grown, but you're going to find out you didn't really grow at all. You're just beginning to grow. And you're going to find out you thought you was in God's perfect will, and you're going to find out you're in his permissive will. There's a whole lot of things coming down the pike against us. Well, not against us, but around about us right now. And God wants us to have this holy fire. He told me, I said, God, what is wrong with the body of Christ? He said, they don't have the anointing in its fullness. And to have the anointing in the fullness, you're going to have to be filled with the fire of God. You're going to have to be bold. You can't walk around, you know, you're going to have to be bold when you come face to face with the enemy. And I didn't say kill the people. You destroy the enemy in them, not the people. Are you understanding this tonight? Now, I look around and the majority of you I know and the majority of you have a great calling upon your life. Now, some of you tried to make it happen before it was supposed to happen and you got yourself in trouble. But right now is a season whenever God is now shifting things and changing things around. So everything you do now is going to be for the glory of God. Now, if you have pride, and some of you do, get rid of your pride. That pride is what's killing you. Get rid of your pride. It was 2 weeks ago, pride rose up in me, and I said, what? Because I don't have pride. I said, devil, you get out of here. And I was around somebody who had a lot of pride, and that thing tried to jump on me. I had to get rid of it. Because I know pride kills. I watch you do it all the time. So, you know, if you might not have it, but it might jump on you. Get rid of it right away. Do not be prideful. Be humble. What's humble? Well, get before God. He'll show you how to become humble. I can't describe humble to me because it means a whole lot of different things to a whole lot of different people. It just depends on who you are and what your personality is all about. How God wants you to humble you. So tonight, God really wants to spread fresh fire into you. I'm sorry, I have a sore throat and sort of hard to talk. But he wants to put fresh fire into you. He wants to take away the old. He wants to burn all that old stuff. He wants you to get your mind, just close off your mind and shut it off and tell it to be quiet, be still. And he wants to give you the mind of Christ tonight so that you'll think the way he wants you to think and not the way you want to think. Just tell him, say, God, I give you full permission to lead, guide, and direct me in the path that you would have me to follow. You know, don't tie his hands at all tonight, please. Some of you are trying to make some very important decisions, and if you aren't careful, you're going to make them in your own wisdom and not in God's wisdom. So it's very imperative that you get this fresh fire tonight, but it's very imperative before you get it, it's very imperative that you turn your mind over totally and completely to God. That's why I played the songs the way I play. I worked for 5 hours in song service, and every time I got it, God said, nope, that's not right yet. Finally got it together after got it together. So now I see the whole picture is right there. You already dedicated yourself to God tonight. You already told him you surrendered everything. Now you're going to break that covenant. So if you surrendered everything to them, then you're saying tonight before you come up here, God, I want that fresh fire. I want everything burned out of me that's not of you. And I just want to be a vessel that's totally empty and filled with you. In other words, you're totally emptied of yourself. All the dumb things you used to do, all the dumb things you used to think, they're gone. They're history. And I just want you and me, Father. I want to glorify you every place I go and with everything I say and everything I do. Amen. I know some of you think I'm hard on you, but I'm really not. I'm trying to lead and guide you in the direction that God would have you to go. I don't want you out there floundering. I don't want you out there being lost and undone, because God said when the glory comes, or when the river starts really flowing really strong, if you're not already in it, you're not going to be able to get in it. So what I'm trying to do here is get you people in the river, so that whenever the glory comes, you're already in the river, you're already filled, and you're just going to explode with the glory of God. And you'll be a vessel of honor that God can work through. You have to walk a holy walk. You cannot walk an unholy walk. So don't. If you're walking unholy, you need to give that to God tonight too. I'm hearing God say you have to be totally, completely transparent. Totally and completely. You know, there shouldn't be any skeletons in your closet whatsoever. You have to be totally and completely transparent. I had somebody say to me one time, you tell too much about yourself. Well, I don't think so, because you know what? The devil doesn't have no skeleton in my closet. I stick it out there in front of him. He doesn't have a chance to get me. Aha, I'm going to tell him what you did. I already tell him my own self. You know what I'm saying? So if you have things that you're ashamed of, give them to God. And say, God, just take these things so the devil can't use them against me. And he'll throw them in the sea of forgetfulness. And when you walk up here, you'll be a brand new person. Totally empty now to God. But what I want you to do is I don't want you doing more dumb things after tonight. I've seen enough dumb things in the body of Christ. I want to see you walk. And when you walk into a room, everybody's head's going to turn and say, who's that? And then when you walk up to them, they'll just say, oh, it's you. But yet there's something different about you. Didn't they say that about Jesus in his own hometown? Oh, that's just a carpenter's son. But oh, he was more than the carpenter's son. They'll just say, oh, it's just Astrid walking in the room. No, it's more than Astrid walking in the room. Jesus walks in there with her. Are you ready for that kind of a walk with God? Are you ready to go so deep that you won't even know what life's all about up here in this world, because you'll be walking in the spirit realm, and you'll be spirit filled, and you can be like Cat Curl, dye your hair pink, and go to heaven. Amen. So the altar's open if you want that fresh fire tonight. That brand new. Now, don't come up here unless you really mean it. I'm hearing God say, because he's trying to raise up giants tonight. He needs giants in his ministry. So you might have things in your life that's not just right. That's okay. Just come up anyhow, because God said he's going to empty you out. Isn't that what he said? So come on up, let him empty you out. Then let him fill you with his fire.